can you talk about the solid waste district and why do we have a district and how does that fit into the county scheme of things?
Well, Casey, I think one way of thinking about it is that, we have a series of three sanitary and recycling companies throughout the county. And those, of course, are Dahl Disposal Services, Thompson Sanitary Service, and North Lincoln Sanitary. And, you know, the district function in that regard is really just one of sort of coordination from the county standpoint. You can always argue, you know, as is as abundantly clear here recently, how much government is good. But in general, I think most people, particularly when you have, such a small industry, they're comfortable with the idea that there's, you know, at least somebody that's tasked to integrate with that. And in this case, that's at the county level through the Solid Waste District. Now, one of the great things about it is, it's sort of each company is sort of looking out for their own territory. I guess another way of looking at the district is kind of, a broader picture of looking at the sorts of things that can facilitate, improvements throughout the county.
Mm-hmm.
But, this is a great place to have this kind of job. We have a great system in place. The more I look around at different parts of the country that, don't even have basic recycling services at this point, let alone curbside, I mean, people just don't realize for such a small community really what a great solid waste system we have. And it's a real pleasure to be working in it.
And thinking, too, about the discussion that was on before we came on as the commissioners and sheriff and Focus, they look at creating a district for animal services. would be similar to the Solid Waste District. And you do have a budget committee and an advisory committee, correct?
That's right, Casey. I mean, we go through the same sort of oversight as any type of government funding entity. We have, you set up a budget for each fiscal year and look at priorities for where those things are going to go and have a public process for approving that and, then carry out whatever it is you're trying to accomplish that particular year.
So in addition to the programs you kind of oversee, just to throw this out there as a note, it does provide a kind of a system of checks and balances about waste hauling and the prices the consumer receives too, correct?
Right. I think everybody should feel pretty comfortable with the way we're set up right now because, you think about it, not only do we have that oversight at the county level, but the haulers also go through a process with their respective cities that they serve as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of involvement. And as I said earlier, I'm happy to say and to have observed that, by and large, what's getting reported to the city and to the county are services that a lot of places in this country still don't have.
Right.
And it's really nice.
Maybe we could segue into one of your talking points, which is the wood and waste yard debris program.
Right. It's been a little over a year now that we stopped providing the wooden yard waste free program at Skelton Road with Georgia Pacific and State Forestry and partnership with the haulers and instead moved that program over to the Dahl Disposal Transfer Station,
mm-hmm.
Quarter mile west of Dairy Queen. And I just want to remind people that it's not that we don't offer the service anymore. It's still a cooperative program between everybody involved. The great part of it is Dahl will now take wooden yard debris there during all their regular business hours. And then in addition to that, for a small fee, all the other transfer stations throughout the county also accept wooden yard debris. And if you don't know, the important part of that is that that's one of the components that's remaining in terms of the sort of the largest portion of what we can recycle. For years and years we've been dealing with, bottles and plastic and glass and all those sorts of things. Well, the two big categories that are remaining in terms of emptying out our landfills of things are that woody yard debris, mm-hmm. construction debris, and then the other big challenge will be food waste. And once those two are in hand, I mean, you're starting to approach a kind of zero waste sort of situation, but that's going to take a lot of work.
Well, when you're pruning your trees or, doing projects where you have leftover wood, that's where you can take advantage of, you know, this method. What kinds of things are allowed?
Well, generally, because the material is largely turned into hog fuel for the GP mill, that's one of the reasons that we have the advantage of being able to have that program in the area. Obviously, things like painted lumber, treated lumber, those sorts of things cannot be ground up and used in the hog fuel because they end up resulting in higher emissions.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we don't want that. But any sort of what we would call clean woody or yard debris, you know, you take down an old shack someplace and,
mm-hmm.
You know, 90% of the lumber is, you know, in some cases never was even painted.
Mm-hmm.
You got all those old 2x4s and boards and whatnot, you know, each spring or fall as you're trimming up some of the woodier plants in your yard. All that sort of stuff is really good materials for this program.
To Doll Disposal.
Right.
And I guess you can also take it to any of the
any of the haulers, right. There is a nominal fee at the other locations. And I guess, you know, a way of looking at that as being reasonable is that hauling things around,
yeah,
you know, those big trucks that you see, it's not for free.
Right.
You know, so all of this material has eventually got to get from the locations where it's collected to a centralized location where it's ground up. And that's largely what you're paying for when you pay a small fee the farther you are away from the Doll location.
Lincoln County Connections, part of the Lifestyle on the Oregon Coast programming here from KCUP. We're talking to Mark Salines right now. He's a Lincoln County Solid Waste and Sustainability Program Manager. Mark, I'm so excited to hear about, and you're calling it your Green Yard Program.
That's
an
right.
Array of products. Rain collectors, what do we call these, rain barrels?
Yeah, Casey, we're really excited about having rain barrels to offer to the public starting this fall. I mean, we've been having some really wonderful lengthy extensions to our summer here recently, which I'm sure everyone is just enjoying to no end.
I know the wine
but,
industry.
Hey, the rain is coming. And, you know, for a long time we've pushed our backyard composter program. With the addition of these rain barrels, we decided that's now time to call it our Green Yard Systems because we offer a number of things. So highlighting the system for this fall, the same manufacturer that makes those earth machines,
mm-hmm.
Which everyone has come to know and love as being you know, made out of recyclable material and
mm-hmm.
really sturdy and work well, they now have a 55-gallon rain barrel that we're able to get to the county and sell for $55, coincidentally, so 55 for 55. The great thing is they're a ready-to-go system. They're a nice, sturdy, tan-colored barrel. They have a top to them. There's already a filter for where your downspout comes in. There's a spot for a spigot in the bottom of the barrel to, you know, to empty out your high-quality rainwater. And then what I really like about them is on each side there's a threaded nipple that has not yet been tapped. That allows you to either use it for an overflow from your rain barrel or to connect together successive rain barrels for storing more capacity. So for those of you who don't realize how much it rains and how much water you can collect very quickly, if you had 1,000 square foot of roof, which is not much at all, I mean, it's real easy to acquire that on
mm-hmm.
just about any home, an inch of rain on that will produce 600 gallons of water.
Wow.
So, you know, one inch rain period and you've got enough water collected to fill up six of these barrels. So that's not really the idea. The idea is not to store every drop. The idea is to, you know, participate in slowing the process of, you know, not utilizing municipal water when you don't have to. Not to mention that a lot of people would, you know, make the claim that rainwater is a lot better for your plants and a lot nicer. So anyways, we're excited about them. At this point in time, we're only offering them from our office. Give us a call at 541-265-4171, and we can have you drop in and take a look at them. They're really great.
And, Mark, do you take credit cards or debit cards?
We can't take
time?
Credit cards. We do accept checks from any place in the county as
okay.
well as cash. And in addition, while you're thinking about those rain barrels, of course, we still have our earth machines, which we're still able to sell
mm-hmm.
at $42. We have our kitchen collectors to help you get that compost out to your earth machine. Those are $7. We sell the little mixing stick, which is called a wing digger. Those are $15. And then, of course, a year ago, we started selling worm bins. We'll be needing to order some more of those because they were real popular during this first year of implementation. It's the Nature's Footprint worm bin, and those are also $42.
And I think you had said the worm bins, if you have an issue with being in a, you know, a tight neighborhood and odor is an issue, but you want to compost, the worm bins almost virtually get rid of the smell.
That's right. If you're operating one correctly, Casey, mine is out in my garage, but theoretically, if I had a spot for it in the corner of my, in near my washer and dryer or whatever, there's no smell from that. If you do tend to get a little, I mean, sure, if you stick your nose right down in it, of course, you're going to have that nice earthy smell. But if you're operating it properly, there's basically no smell from a worm bin.
And those would work outside as well?
They work outside. The only thing you have to be worried about is, you know, we do get some freezing weather around here. And as temperature goes down, the worms really have no way of, escaping out of the worm bin. So if it gets cold enough to freeze, particularly if it's going to be for several nights, you might want to bring that worm bin inside and, stick it in the garage or something so it doesn't freeze up.
And is it self-containable like that?
It's really easy. It's easy to move around. All assembled, they're probably about 16 inches square, something like that.
Oh, okay.
A little taller than that, but they're fairly easy to move.
And what kind of output will one of these accommodate?
Well, it's really the one that we sell is really designed to be small scale. It comes with multiple tiers, mm-hmm. and the description that's given, and it's fairly accurate for one summertime type climate, is that you can compost about a pound and a half of, vegetables and things, salad trimmings and whatnot, per week per tier. So, two or three tiers in a worm bin system, you'd be looking at being able to do 3, 4, or 5 pounds of waste a week if they were operating efficiently. And that's not a lot, but, it's quite a bit.
And if you had a big family,
hopefully
you get
a
couple of
a family. Hopefully, you're not wasting too much more than that, in terms of your leftovers from your salad and whatnot. Like our earth machines, you cannot put any oily or meat into these worm bins. It's just designed for, your leftovers from. I guess the one thing you can put in there that's not vegetable matter, eggshells, mm-hmm. work well in there, but.
And just to recap on those rain barrel collectors, $55 is an excellent price.
$55 is a steal.
Wow.
Yeah, if you were, like all of our other products, we basically figured out that that's what it costs us to purchase them in Portland, get them transported down here in bulk to keep that price low. You cannot match that price anywhere.
No.
Now, I mean, if you want to build your own rain barrel, that's great. I mean, I would highly encourage you to do that. But a lot of people just don't have the time or desire to do that.
Sure.
And I think by the time you looked at all the components you need and paid for them, this is a really good deal.
Yeah, daisy chained them together. What a great idea. Another thing that I know you guys have coming up that you've endorsed is Bejeweled. And this just really does fit into the reuse, kind of recycle concept, doesn't it?
It really does. Certainly I wasn't the one to initiate Bejeweled. It's been around since 2008, and it was initiated as a program to help support, our food share program in the county. But the basic idea is, I guess, much like our shoe collection program,
mm-hmm.
just about everybody has got some jewelry laying around that they're not using or they don't want or they wonder why they're hanging on to it. If you're in a situation like that, this is the perfect opportunity to donate to Bejeweled. One way of thinking about it is that collected jewelry is then resold at special events a couple of times a year. And, you think about the fact that that money can go a long ways in terms of supporting the food share program,
mm-hmm.
Always in need of some supplies and cash. This year, what's been really exciting is with my part-time assistance from Rennie McGuire, mm-hmm. helping out the district now. As you said, I endorsed the idea of going forward with a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So we initially got all of the county departments involved in challenging each other to see how much used jewelry could be collected, and that's been hugely successful. The city of Newport is now starting to participate in the challenge, and we're considering perhaps after the first of the year, challenging perhaps some select small businesses to do the same thing. So once again, what it is basically, you know, if you want to know about more about supporting the food share program through Bejeweled, you can call 541-265-8578. Or give us a call up the Solid Waste District as we're endorsing and collecting for the program. But put that used jewelry to work supporting those that are in need throughout the county.
And Bejeweled, what's the date on that again?
The actual sale has not been. It's going to be, February 11th at the Shiloh Inn.
Gotcha.
And we'll be advertising that a lot more as we get closer to that date. But I get a sneak peek every once in a while the sorts of things that people are turning in.
That's some good stuff.
This is going to be a really nice sale this year and really going to a worthy cause. So
yeah.
So Bejeweled, got something. That's where it needs to go.
Yeah, and I think people really have a really. I know the event's just gotten more popular and popular. It's just fun.
It's fun.
Fun to go look around at, items and stuff. So. That's great. That's great, Mark. With a couple minutes left on the program, Mark, any last thoughts? I mean, you know, folks can learn more about your products. We're on the way to doing a new update on the latest things that are happening on your website, and that's
right.
A good resource.
Yeah, that's a good resource. That's a good point, Casey. The website is a bit outdated as all of us, struggle with downsizing the county and whatnot. So,
but there's a lot of good info
looking,
there.
There's a lot of good info there now, and we are looking forward to an overall overhaul the information that's out there as we have some time this fall during the slow time. And then, of course, we're always available to talk about our products. Give us a call, as I said. Our number, again, is 541-265-4171. If you don't get an answer, because we do have a lot of activities that we attend that are outside the office, leave us a message, and we'll give you a call back as soon as we can.
And for those that want to reach the office, you are located in the Public Works facilities?
Right, the Public Works building up above the fairgrounds and up above the Transit District. The address is 880 Northeast 7th Street. It's basically across from what was the middle school.
Excellent. Well, Mark, thanks for being on the program, and maybe next time we have you on, we can break into some of the other things that you're doing. I know it's exciting to think about these electric stations potentially that could be coming to the county. I know it's under development, but that'll be exciting because you've really been digging into this one.
Right, Casey. As you know, with the purchase of the Zen electric car about 3.5 years ago. That was sort of the start of a desire to at least be part of bringing electric vehicle infrastructure to Lincoln County. And when we have some more time to talk about it, we will have electric charging stations going in here in the near future. It's a very interesting and exciting topic.
Well, thank you, Mark Salings. He's the manager of our Lincoln County Solid Waste and Sustainability Department. Great to have him on the program. Thanks for you for listening to us today. We appreciate you joining the program. And remember, next week, same time, same place on KCUP. Have a great day out there, everyone.